in Ballymun and Beijing,
Radio WXTC.net,
in Coolock and Cairo,
Radio WXTC.net,
in Artane and Amsterdam,
Radio WXTC.net.
WXTC.net, Brian Green here on podcast number 19, and it's one of those kind of business-like podcasts that I'm going to do that's going to try and, once again, try and understand the bottleneck and problems I have in producing my own podcast, because when it comes to other people's podcasts, time is always a problem, but, you know, you're doing it for the money, you'll get it done. When it comes to your own, it always seems to be easier to put it off than do it. And it ultimately comes to a point that I'd actually get no podcast done whatsoever unless I was driven to it by an outside force other than myself. Something I'll see on telly will make me so bloody angry that I'll just run to the microphone and say, aha, I'm doing a podcast. Other times it's just, you know, total frustration of the blockage gets you to the point where you say, okay, let's do it. I have about, at the moment, 15 podcasts in my head. 15 different episodes that need to get out. And they just pile up. And I'm just promising myself someday I'll do them. And generally I don't. So this is just one of them. What drove me to this one? I just wanted to, I'm in an email and I'm articulating something I say I will promise to articulate in a future podcast. And I'm just saying, why? Why bother writing that down? Why not just turn on microphone and hit record? We have the technology. We are lucky enough to be surrounded by the microphones and the wires and the equipment of an ex-radio station here. We can do just, we can just call up anybody we like. Okay, obviously we need a telephone line to call up people. Where's the telephone line? We lost the telephone line. Where's... Ah, we got the telephone line back. Right, remember to pay telephone bill. We've got all this equipment. We can do it. And from time to time, we just get bogged down in the, I've got too much email. I've got too many inbox messages. I've got too many people pulling my strings and I'm getting nothing done. Heard an interesting thing during the week about email bankruptcy. Yes, declare yourself email bankrupt. You have got too much repayments or too much time to put into the mails you will never read. Call a halt. Say, game's up. Start fresh. Start with a new plan, with a new address, and see how it goes. I'm struggling here with some shrink wrap on a CD I purchased last night. Okay, we'll deal with this in another part of the podcast in about 5 minutes' time. So let's load it up and see what iTunes wants to do with it. It's been a while. It's been about 5 or 6 weeks, and things have happened since then. I'm not working off show notes, but I did have some notes. If I dig around, I might actually find them. We were up for a podcasting award on the 16th of November was the award ceremony, and the news was, I've blogged about it, yes, we won. So we're delighted. Thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody who voted for me, because basically that's what it boils down to. I got more votes than the other people. It doesn't necessarily mean that I am the best podcaster in Ireland or anywhere. I just got more votes, which is an interesting analogy. Coffee, which I'm almost allergic to at the moment. That's instant, not ground, so I'm okay. The analogy that the people who run your country, the politicians who got the most votes, are not probably the best people for the job. They're probably not the best people. They just happen to get more votes than the other guy. And in some cases, they didn't get more votes than the other guy, but they're still top of the pops on running the world. But they're not necessarily the best people, because there are more intelligent people who just are so intelligent, they know not to run for politics. Do you want to import this CD into iTunes library? Ah, go on, why not? Oh, very good. iTunes knows this artist. This is an artist's own produced album, and it was on sale at the gig last night, and I'll be playing some tracks from it in a minute. And it's actually also on sale on iTunes, so there you go. I've just got the plastic as well, and the packaging, which I like. We all like. So you can listen to the fan of the fan. If it had fins, it would be a fan. The DVD drawer making noise during this podcast as it tries to rip this to the hard disk. So thank you for your votes. It was mentioned on the Ireland Digital podcast. Cue insert here, and we'll come back to you in a second.
But some interesting results. I mean, I would have voted, or I would have bet, if I'd been betting on, for example, the podcaster of the year going to Con
Moynihan.
Yes, or Con Moynihan, as those of us who knew him before his I'm pimping my Irish podcast thing, I would have called him. I would have bet on him because he, of course, recently...
His new podcast is called I Don't Even Speak Irish and Nobody Ever Figured It Out.
Well, he, of course, secured some funding recently to produce that podcast. So
it's a radio show as well now, isn't it?
It's gone to radio, and then I think he got funding from the Broadcasting Commission of Ireland to produce that.
Yeah.
So it's now a fully funded podcast and radio show. I would have thought he would have won it because he's really the person who's taken the whole genre most professional in Ireland. Like, he is, apart from ourselves, of course, probably the most professional podcast in the country.
But in fairness, the three people that were nominated were like Bernie Goldback, Con, and Brian Green. They've all done a lot from podcasting.ie, from Bernie's done a lot from the Imager podcasting and the whole industry. And Brian, you know, one of the first professional who I think uses the studio sometimes. I think Brian also is a huge contributor. So I think
it was won by Brian.
Fact that it got recognised, though, and there was three podcasts in there who had done a good work.
Absolutely, and of course, well done to Brian for winning it.
And we're back. That's what they thought of the winning choice, and thank you, lads. Thank you. And a fine, great podcast to have there. A pity about that summertime fade that you had. But I don't mean that in a condescending way. I mean, it has been proven that creative people, entertainers, they don't produce... When they generally produce indoors, they don't produce that much in the summertime because they're out and about enjoying themselves. This is the darkest fortnight of the year, and you should be producing loads now, because who wants to go out in the dark and the cold and the wet? So, I came on, and I was driven to it by an issue. I said, I will podcast this in the future. Do you remember I said that? I'm getting back. I'm like one of these comedians who goes around and around and around and around and around, comes back to the punchline. And if you can't remember what the punchline was, you're bollocksed. But if you can, it kind of works out okay. So I'm writing this email, and basically I asked Inga to send the kids some letters in the post. And dutifully she did. And they arrived in the last couple of days. They didn't all arrive at the same time, but I bet you they were posted at the same time. But that's the international postal system. What a wonderful system that is. They base TCP on it. But in comes the letters. The kids are delighted. So it just brought me back, like a yo-yo pulling me back to a point in time in my life. And a lot of this podcast is about memories, to when I was about 8 and I wanted the postman to deliver me some post. Because that would be nice. Yes, Mr. Postman, send me some post, because that would make me feel important. And it would be nice, you know. You're 8, you're not the most important person in the world. You stand in a sweet shop and all the big people and the adults get served ahead of you. Do you remember that? It still happens. I sometimes actually book the trend and redirect the shop assistant to the young people around me and said, they were here first. Yeah, but you've got more money to spend. But they were here first. Book that trend if you're ever in a shop and you see that happen. Don't say, I've got no time, I need to be served quick. Don't jump the queue. So, always wanted it. Whatever it was, I'd fill in coupons and I'd write away for one of the things I can remember waiting. At the window, chin on hand, looking out, waiting on the post van. Well, it wasn't on post, it was the P&T, P August T, orange and cream van to come down the road and make this delivery, because if it was bigger than a postcard, they came in the afternoon, but it's in the van. So I wrote away for a Weetabix car. It was a little, it was actually a Formula One kind of car. and Weetabix were doing it off the box. I wrote away for it, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and then one day it came. That was wonderful. A similar memory for me would be that we were getting SafeCross code badges from the SafeCross code people, and they were to have your man judge the character who told you how to safely cross the road. Remember, one look for a safe place. Okay. And I applied for one, or we applied through school or something, and my brother applied for one. His came a day before mine, or a week before mine, and mine came a week later. Wonderful international postal system. And just like I've done with postcards that came in the last couple of days, you don't give one child a postcard and not the other and say, oh, yours must be coming in the post, because that just does not work. Forget it. You hide the one that comes in early, you wait till the other one comes in, and then they came together. Nobody knows any better, and the kids are happy. So I did that now, but I learned that from my mother, who did that with her SafeCross code badges. And, you know, through life we'll take on an enormous amount of data. Too much data, just swimming in crap of data. But it's nice to be able to not get all that data to push out memories like when I was 8 and I wanted post. But fast forward to now, I don't want post because that means bills. And I don't want bills because that means somebody wants money off me. Now, I don't mind using their services and their utilities, but I don't want bills. Just hang on a second. The desk just died on the right channel there. So I've just brought it back. And there's only one way to bring it back, and that is... Actually, I'll keep that as a trade secret. But there is another way to fix it, and that is to go out and buy a new desk. This is a lovely desk, and I don't know why it is failing. Let me just... something loose on it or something. Hang on a sec. No, it's not. Stretch over with the right hand. No, it's not a loose connection. So it's something, an integrated circuit, a chip, a microchip is going inside and it's just dying on me. Speaking of things inside, I had this requirement to do some flatbed scanning, and not having a modern flatbed scanner, that's hard to say with false teeth, is I had to go and fish a very old A4 flatbed scanner from the attic. Brought it down, dusted it down, found all its wires. Never throw out cables, you always will need cables. So I've got 4 boxes of cables, and I found the SCSI card cable connector to go to the flatbed scanner. I found the electricity, I found the... Well then, because it's on an ATI SCSI card, I have to give birth again to a 400 megahertz Pentium 1 PC, which has a 5-pin DIN keyboard and a 9-pin COM port mouse. So you have to find keyboard with 5-pin DIN. You've got to find 9-pin COM mouse, which aren't easy to find when there's about 14 other mice with PS2s on it. I had 2 9 pins, but I'm down to 1 at the moment. One's on loan to Leitrim. And I need a data cable to network card, or to internet, and basically get the thing going, fire it up, scan first photograph. First photograph, beautiful photograph taken in Kilkee in 2004 of a postbox. Check it out on my Flickr page. Flickr ID MMBHG. And second one, scans, lot of colour artifacts, lot of kind of rainbows in the picture. And I'm going, it's not on the picture, it's not on the bed. Where is this coming from? I do it 4 more times in the same position, and every single time I'm getting different colour artifacts, rainbows moving in different directions across the scan. I'm puzzled. So I scan it with the lid off just to see what's going on. And lo and behold, there is a fly. A fully mature fly flying around the inside of the flatbed scanner under the glass, and the nicest place for this fly to be on December the 4th or whatever date it was yesterday, December the 5th, is on the bulb, because the bulb in a flatbed scanner of that era, and it's era 1998, which probably means it was designed in 1994. The warmest place to be is on the bulb, because the bulb is ever on, always on. So it's nice and warm in there. So we had to do what has never been done to a 12-year-old flatbed scanner, and that is open up the glass, release the fly, who came to a sudden end, I'm afraid, and clean the glass on the underside while you're there, because some debris and dust does stick from the inside over time. And that was the story of the flatbed scanner. So there's some interesting Flickr pictures that have been scanned, that have been kind of lingering around wanting to be scanned, and now they're scanned. We encoded, while we were talking, a album of an artist who we saw last night in Dublin. And we saw this artist 12 months ago when they were in Dublin, and we saw them again this autumn. It's Rebecca Hart, and the album is now out, called Crash and... Can't read it. Read it off there. Crash and Strum. And it's absolutely wonderful. So what we're going to do is play a track from that, then we're going to have a chat with Rebecca, and then we'll play another track, and then we'll get out of here. And that'll be podcast number 19. The podcast that didn't feature the launch of Phantom 105.2, which we'll probably feature in a future podcast. It didn't feature our trip to the UK for the podcast convention. And it didn't feature something else that happened. Let's have a quick look and see if the show notes are here. You know what, they probably are, but we'll find them during the next song. So sit back, relax, turn up the headphones, and have a listen to... Where is the track? There it is, track number 6. This is Rebecca Hart. White Lie.
You have made in the sky. What a mess.
Dublin, it's a Tuesday night and it's the Ruby Sessions, and we're with Rebecca Hart, who we saw here once before and we see her again. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Welcome to my lovely city, Dublin. What do you like about Dublin?
I like Dublin, the fact that Dublin is less noisy than New York, and that you love music here.
We love your music here, and the people of Dublin keep coming back in their numbers to see you here. What's it like to play a Dublin gig?
Well, people really listen, which is my favorite part of playing in Dublin. They really are here to see music. They really listen to music. I really can talk to them when I'm on stage and have a little bit of fun and tell some jokes, and they like that. And they're just very present. I really enjoy that. And I also like that they just kind of show up to gigs and they want to hear what's going on rather than... like at home, I like to say that you're guilty till proven innocent, and here you're innocent till proven guilty as an artist. So that's nice.
Sorry for those. Yeah.
Come on
Do
through,
it.
It's live.
We're just doing this bathroom sounds interview. Yes.
And it's nobody's listening to it anyway, because let's just break some ice. There's about 200 listeners to... That's the ladies.
Yeah,
21st century. Yeah, okay. There's about 200 listeners to this podcast, and you've about 5,000 people on your MySpace.
I guess so, yeah. I don't know.
Much more than I have, so this is a little radio station, and you've got the big MySpace.
Hey, it's great. I mean, the album that I just finished, Crash and Strum, is getting some radio play across America, because we did a big campaign, but any little bit is helpful, so this is one of the only... I think this is my first podcast, I have to say. It's kind of cool, as far as I know.
What I'm going to ask you is kind of business political, okay? Where do you stand? You won't speak for every musician. So where do you stand on podcasting vis-a-vis the other type of thing is like get a record deal, get signed, blah, 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 blah. Where are you with podcasting?
Well, I think I'm sort of in the middle of those two extremes, because I'm kind of a fuddy-duddy when it comes to like technological development. So for a while,
yeah, right. You've got a website and you've got a MySpace, and you're with it.
Yes, I'm doing those things that I know you're supposed to. But for a while, there was a great distrust of like, I still go out and buy CDs, and I still like kind of wanted to believe in the old-fashioned way of doing things, and you get a record deal, and that's how you get known. But then once I discovered podcasting and started playing something on my iPod, I was like, this is a great idea. And now I just really want people to hear the music. So any way that they hear it is great. And I actually think it's kind of a wonderful time to be a musician, because the old ways of doing things, you were like, a record deal, it kind of, if that was the only way to go, it kind of makes you a slave to it. So while I'm looking for it, I have the freedom now to look for the right one rather than just kind of hitch my wagon to anybody, you know.
The reason why I've had 4 pints tonight and not one before I saw you was because I was at a book launch of a web guru here in Ireland who was talking web stuff, la la la. Okay, apart from that, the long tail means that in the music business, MySpace, YouTube, Bebo, means that A&R don't decide who gets to be famous. The people decide. Do you find that with your web presence, your MySpace, that people make their own decisions, and it's not up to some guy, one in a million, working for a record company, decides this is an act that breaks it, this is an act that makes it, or this is an act that doesn't?
Do I feel like that's true?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I wish I could say yes, totally. I think it's kind of, it's half and half in a way, because right now, I mean, granted, my gigs are not coming from some A&R guy. They're coming from people like you and friends and somebody in France who found me and wants to play me on the radio, and someone in England who found me and wants to help me out. And like, that stuff would never happen were I just left to my own devices. However, the industry heads, still have some power because now that the internet is so much where music is happening, that's become part of the arena of power. So, you know, a good manager or an A&R guy or whatever, they're factoring that stuff into how they deal with a new artist. So in a way, it's like you can have a web presence all you want, but you can also always have a bigger web presence. So in a way, I wouldn't mind having someone help me get to be a larger web presence. But yeah, it's out of their hands to a certain degree.
I apologize for trying to psychoanalyze the music industry and where they stand with, you know, 2.0, web 2.0 and iPods and all that. Can I just ask you, before we leave, you've got a new album out, and what's the last thing I have, the green cover thing that was an EP, was it?
It was a little EP I did with my old band in LA, it's called Sigh.
Right, so we've passed that. You've now got the full-bodied album. It's on sale here tonight. I have a copy. Tell us about it. What was it like bringing it together? What is it all about as a package?
Well, it represents... It's my first full-length album, for one thing. It's really like I really kind of sunk my feet into it, and I did something that's, you know, 10 songs, and that was a chance for me to say as much as I wanted to say, which was kind of nice. It's also really my first time working with a producer, really, because the last couple of albums were, you know, I had a couple of friends who were producing it in the band. We all sort of worked on it together. I'm really happy with the way they came out, but this was the first time really collaborating with someone who... It's like, you know, as an actor, I work with directors all the time, and it was very much like that relationship, like suddenly the musician-producer relationship. It was like being an actor working in someone's production. And he put together the band for it and arranged all the tunes, and I learned a lot about recording and also about songwriting, because it was the first time someone sat down and challenged me to say, like, do you need this part of the song? Do you want this part of the song? What about if we did this? And I got to say no and yes, and... It was a very exciting process. And I also got to play with some just brilliant musicians on the album, which was nice.
If the EP was the Bedsit album, where is this one spiritually with you? Is it what you are ready to send out to the world and as your SOS message and say, this is me?
Yeah, I feel like what I set out to do with Crash and Strum was to make a record. The impetus for that record was to say, I need something that sounds like who I am live. Because people used to get the old CDs and love them, but also the energy of the live show and the energy of me with a band wasn't necessarily there, and I really wanted to do something that had, you know, the rock and roll in it that I always wanted to put out. I wanted to have something that had the kind of the fun to it that I'd never been able to translate on recording before. So I wanted someone to bring my energy, like my performing energy, into a record. And I feel like that's what happened with Crash and Strum. So it is kind of the first time I've been able to be like, this is what I want to say to the world.
Thank you very much. Last question. Mm-hmm. Just because your sound is so wonderful, your voice is so wonderful, your songs are poignant to blah, 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 blah. I won't go on about them. But what are your influences that gives us that? What influences you? What gets you, you know, not just even musical influences, but what drives you to make this music?
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that I think some of my primary influences are not musical at all. I was an actor before I was a musician, and I grew up in a theater family, and I grew up with literature, and so, you know, poets, like, I mean, I guess I'm in Ireland, so I'm thinking about him, but my first poet that I was obsessed with was Yeats. Old, you know, comedy is a big thing for me because I like finding the wit in certain songs. So, like, you know, comedians, Groucho Marx, like the Marx Brothers were something I was obsessed with when I was a kid. And then Shakespeare. And then also to just get into music stuff, I mean, it started out with like Joni Mitchell and all of the really great classic singer-songwriters. And then as I got older and started getting into rock music, I kind of got exposed to Steely Dan and Jethro Tull and some great, those great, like, weird genre-bending 70s rock bands. And that, I think, put me on track to, like, what I sort of wanted to do, which was to do something that wasn't rock and wasn't pop and wasn't folk, but was sort of a singular expression of something else. So, yeah.
Will you shout out 3 songs from the album that we should be listening to definitely immediately, and will you shout out your web address and MySpace for me?
I will. My web address is rebeccahart.net. And my MySpace is very easy because it's just myspace.com/RebeccaHart. And if you look me up on iTunes by my name, you'll get the album, which is Crash and Strum. The songs from the record that if I wanted, could make you listen to, I would. I guess number one would be White Lie, which is a political song sort of about where we're at right now with the insanity that is the American government. And also Crash and Strum, which is the title track, which is just my favorite right now, because it was such good fun to make, and it was really like my singer-songwriter roots that in the middle of the song break down into like this huge rock and roll bridge. So it's kind of like the two extremes of what I do. And also the song Planets, which is a kind of funky ballad from the beginning of the album. And I think lyrically is my favorite thing I've ever written.
Two of them old school Beckhart. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, sure.
Cheers, thank you.
Alan Freeman.
Rebecca Hart recorded in Doyle's last night in Dublin. Great acoustics in the background. Great show. Check out the MySpace site, myspace.com/ Rebecca Hart. Also, on the MySpace issue, thanks to everybody who's hitting my MySpace page today, myspace.com, MMBHG. Just two people today, Tim and Elner, have thanked me. Or congratulate me for winning the podcast thing. Hey, thanks. Thanks for the thanks. There's this whole circle of friends thing happening in MySpace. It's brilliant. And somebody else I checked out, I think they befriended me, which is unusual. It's more like I'm going around finding musicians and asking them, can I be a friend? And this person, I think, jumped onto my page and said, can I be a friend? And I said, of course you can. And I said, can I play your song in a podcast? And he said, of course you can. And then the song I want to play isn't there, I don't think. So, we're going to play a track by Andy Early. And it's not the one I wanted to play. I wanted to play the one with the kids playing the game and the picture thing. I don't know what it was called. But I'm going to play this one instead. And it's got a healthy play of 1772 on the 6th of December. So let's have a listen to Comes the Time from Andy Early. And just as you ask MySpace to do something for you, it decides, we'll wait. We'll come on in a second. Andy Early.
Yes, there comes a time for each of us. Break out of who we have become. Our lives are chrysalis inside. Cramped for meaning and no place to hide. Should we let go? And you know that it's the only way.
Andy early, and comes the time on WXTC.net, I'm Brian Green, and isn't that just wonderful that that kind of talent can be out there untapped and unseen? It just gives you so much hope for the future. That is wonderful. Andy, thank you for coming on to MySpace and befriending me with wonderful, wonderful music. Thanks for understanding podcasting and saying yes to the answer that I ask most musicians. And that is wonderful. I'm going to do something I hate. I hate when people say, do you know what that sounds like? But I'm going to say, sounds like the voice of Sting with the diction of Damien Dempsey. And the diction of Damien Dempsey is no surprise, because Damien is from Donnymead and Andy's from Ballymun and I'm from Baldoyle. Draw a straight line between the 3 points. We're all from the north side. I just try not to sound like I do. No, actually, don't try. It's just the way it is. Wonderful stuff. That's at a website, myspace.com. Andy Early, E-A-R-L-E-Y. Speaking of MySpace, and God, so many people do all the time, we will continue to, because, hey, they're just doing what we all do in life, only doing it faster and quicker on an internet. We're networking. Social networking. Go into a bar after a gig, go into a bar after a conference with your business cards and network, 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 network. That's all you're doing. And enjoying yourself and listening to good music while you do it. So back to MySpace for a second. And check this out. This is a musical, technical kind of observation I'm going to make right now. In a second.
Dublin's real alternative. The difference is Radio Caroline.
I was working one day in my music room.
Eleanor McAvoy's podcast can be heard by just visiting her MySpace page. Track 1, autoplay, 2,841 people have tuned in to the podcast via that method. They didn't get much choice not to, because it autoplays at them. Thank you for voting with your feet and coming to the page and listening to the podcast. That's what it's all about. If you stuck that podcast in iTunes on an RSS feed, in an aggregator, it would get 300 people. It would be glad to. Like this podcast gets. It gets about 200 listeners. Thank you for listening. I would enjoy more, but I'm quite happy with what I've got. 2,850 so listens on MySpace for a podcast. Send them there. That's where your traffic is. Get it out there. Make it happen. That was episode 2. Episode 1 got slightly less because it was out a little shorter amount of time. But it did just about as well. If you counted the listens per week, it would probably be about the same. Episode 3 is coming. It's in the pipeline. And it'll be recorded December 20th, mixed on the 21st, and out the 21st, the 22nd of December. So it'll be a Christmas podcast with Eleanor McAvoy, and we're going to our hometown of Wexford to record it. So we shall be doing some sights and sounds and sound seeing over there. While we were in the UK at the podcasting convention, and thanks to Dean and Mark of the UK Podcasters Association for looking after me so well, we caught a gig in London in a pub on the Friday night, and I saw this particular artist will feature in a future podcast, and it's Ledge, L-E-D-G-E. Look at Ledge UK in MySpace, myspace.com/LedgeUK, and check it out. Wonderful sound. I haven't permission to play it just yet. Probably couldn't, wouldn't get sued, but we'll get permission before we go any further with that one. Just before we go on to the next item, we'll check the sound levels and we're doing okay. Book launch last night, as mentioned in the interview with Rebecca. We were at the book launch for Jerry McGovern's fourth book, Killer Web Content. It was launched in the Clarence Hotel in Dublin. That's U2's pub. Yes, it is. And I've been visiting that from before they owned it, and they still own it. £4.80 a pint of Guinness. Lads, you're rolling in it. You're rolling in money. You're taking the taxes to the Netherlands and you're charging £4.80 a pint. I'm not playing you two on my podcast. Not now, not ever. Thanks. God, that sounded bitter, didn't it? Actually, speaking of the pints, upstairs the barrel had to be changed by complaints from the clientele. the barrel was not good enough for us, so we had to go and get it changed. If you're going to be paying those sort of prices, you better get a nice barrel of Guinness upstairs in the Clarence, please. So Jay wrote a book, and it's more about that I should be talking than the pints of Guinness in the Clarence. Killer Web Content by Jerry McGovern, his fourth book. Check out www.jerrymcgovern.com. Jerry spoke for 2 hours on his feet without a note. All his notes are in his head. The guy is absolutely animated and wonderful, and if you thought Jerry isn't anything like that, yes, you were wrong. He isn't like that. He is absolutely wonderful public speaker, and we caught it all on tape. Okay, digital voice recorder.
Okay, the book's called Killer Web Content, and you'll get all the details you need on it on www.jerrymcgovern.com.
And we shall be podcasting it somewhere in the future. Where? Irish Internet Association, IIA.ie. We'll stick that podcast up in the coming days. Definitely, we will. Found the show notes. They're about as irrelevant now as a beer mat in the Clarence Hotel. What are we going to discuss? Oh, yeah. I'm not going to discuss this, but I was going to. Doopy. Read about it on the blog. You have to go back about 30 articles because I'm just writing so much at the moment. Doopy died, and Doopy has been replaced by Habana. Read it on the blog if you're interested in how this audio file makes it to the world via a server. You might be interested in reading that article. Speaking of deaths, we had another death in the family, and it was a guinea pig this time. Unfortunately, Rose the guinea pig, who was about 6 weeks old, the cat came upon the guinea pig, and the cat won out. It was sad, and lessons have been learnt, and we have another guinea pig now, and this follows on from the murder in the backyard posting where the rabbit Madeline died last year by in the hands or teeth of another cat. But Rose the guinea pig has been replaced by Goldie the guinea pig, and is sharing a cell with Madeline's replacement, the new rabbit, who's called Lily. So Lily and Goldie, if you have to keep up with all these things. You won't hear that cat who killed Rose on the podcast much more because of the studio change. Yes, the acoustics around here, just turn up the microphone a little. Yes, the acoustics in here are a little bit different, so you'll probably tell I've changed rooms. I've changed studios from upstairs to downstairs. It's bigger. In fact, it was more echoey before I moved in all the junk. So with the junk, the echo goes down quite a bit. But the floor's hard. The surfaces are hard. They're not ideal for studios. But we shall make do for the moment, and it's more about the content than the sound quality we'll be worrying about for a long time to come. So we're going to do the Phantom thing in the future. We were at the Phantom launch on Halloween, and 105.2, if you're in Dublin, check it out. The guys are back on the air. Covered that. Didn't cover that. We'll do the podcasting convention at a future date. Apologies. As soon as I came back from that and the win of the podcasting award, server blows up. So our life went on pause for about 2.5 weeks. Played that. Mentioned that. Played that interview. Haven't mentioned that. We are going to be doing a future musical podcast with Stano. Stano is well renowned in the avant-garde music scene from the very late 70s to right up to now. I think he's releasing his 5th or 6th album. It's out, and we are slightly behind on this one, but we will be sitting down with Stano somewhere in the Dublin 3 area with a microphone and some instruments and having a yap about his latest album. Check out Stano's biog. Where would you find his biog? You would find his biog at huerecords.com. That's huerecords.com. In there you'll find Stano. On that you'll find his biography. So that's everything covered. Are we going to get out of here without a song, do you think? Yes, we will. If a song does come in, it's because, you know, we were under time, but we're at 35, and I think it's a nice time to break and get out of here. Hopefully the next one won't be so long. It probably will be, though. So we'll have some time during and over Christmas to greet you again. Will there be a pre-Christmas podcast? Ah, there has to be. Do you remember last year's one where we went on the phones and we rang up the world and the world said hello to you via an MP3? We'll do that again. We definitely will. We'll just catch up with some of the people we caught up with last year and how their lives have changed in a year. And yes, we'll definitely do that. We'll have to pick a date for that now. I think we did it on Christmas Eve. Yeah, we were talking to people now. I'm in the shops, leave me alone. WXTC.net is a free and independent podcast produced by Brian Green here in Dublin, Ireland. Thank you for listening, you mad things. Goodbye. See you.